The moon hung like a sickle blade over Drostelnok, and Pellin stood quietly staring down at the Nadir camp in the lunar light below. Thousands of warriors were gathered there, and tomorrow they would come screaming across the narrow strip of blood-stained ground, hauling their ladders, carrying their grappling irons. They would be baying for battle and death, and just like today, the sound would terrify him, seeming to penetrate his skin like needles of ice. Pellin was more frightened than he had ever been in his young life, and he longed to run, to hide, to throw away his ill-fitting armour and race south to his home. The Nadir kept coming, wave after wave, their raucous battle cries sending their hatred ahead of them. The shallow wound in his upper arm was both throbbing and itching. Gilad had assured him this meant that it was healing well, but it had been a taste of pain, a bitter promise of worse pain to come. He had watched comrades writhing and screaming, their bellies opened by serrated swords. Pellin fought to push the memories away. A cold wind began to blow from the north, bunching dark rain clouds before it. He shivered and remembered his warm farmhouse with its thatched roof and large stone-built fireplace. On cold nights like this one, he and Kara would lie in bed, her head resting on his shoulder, her left leg warm on his thighs. They would lie together in the soft red glow of the fading fire and listen to the wind howling mournfully outside. Pellin sighed. "Please don't let me die here," he prayed. Of the 23 men who had volunteered from his village, only 9 were left. He gazed back at the rows of sleeping defenders lying on the open ground between walls 3 and 4. Could these few hold the greatest army ever assembled? Pellin knew they could not. Returning his gaze to the Nadir camp, he scanned the area close to the mountains. The Draenei dead, stripped of armour and weapons, had been thrown there and burnt. Oily black smoke had drifted over the dross for hours afterwards, bringing with it the sickly and nauseating smell of roasting flesh. "It could have been me," thought Pellin, remembering the slaughter as Wall 2 fell. He shivered. Drostelnok, the mightiest fortress in all the world, 6 walls of rearing stone and a broad keep. Never had she been conquered by an enemy. But then never had she faced an army of such numbers. It seemed to Pellin that there were more Nadir than there were stars in the sky. The defenders had fallen back from Wall 1 after bitter fighting, for it was the longest and therefore the hardest to hold. They had crept back in the night, surrendering the wall without further losses. But Wall 2 had been taken at great cost, the enemy breaching the defences and sweeping forward to encircle the defenders. Pellin had barely made it back to Wall 3, and remembered the acid taste of fear in his throat, and the terrible shaking of his limbs as he hauled himself over the battlements and sank to the ramparts. And what was it all for, he wondered. What difference would it make if the Draenei enjoyed self-rule or government by the warlord Ulric? Would the farm yield any less corn? Would his cattle sicken and die? It had all seemed such an adventure 12 weeks ago, when the Draenei recruiting officers had arrived at the village. A few weeks of patrolling these great walls, and then a return home as heroes. Heroes. Sovil was a hero, until that arrow pierced his eye, ripping it from the socket. Jokan was a hero, as he lay screaming, his blood-covered hand seeking to hold his entrails in place. Pellin added a little coal to the iron brazier and waved at the sentry 30 paces to the left. The man was stamping his feet against the coal. He and Pellin had swapped places an hour before, and soon it would be his turn to stand by the brazier. The knowledge of heat soon to be lost gave the fire an even greater significance, and Pellin stretched out his hands, enjoying the warmth. A huge figure moved into sight, stepping carefully over the sleeping defenders and making his way towards the ramparts. Pellin's heart began to beat faster as Druss strode up the steps. Druss the legend, the saviour of Skeln Pass, the man who had battled his way across the world to rescue his wife. Druss the Axeman, the Silver Slayer. The Nadir called him Deathwalker, and Pellin now knew why. He had watched him fighting on the battlements, his terrible axe cleaving and slaying. He was not mortal. He was a dark god of war.